72, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, 62, 3, Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Love of so many called. Losing their home of gold. This in God's word is told. Evils abound. When these signs come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast. Trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Got a question for you. How many of you would walk a mile to save a righteous man's life? Don't raise your hand. Think about this. How many of you would walk a mile to save a good man's life? And then how many of you would be willing to walk a mile to save an imprisoned repeat offender who by his continual choices put him right back into prison? Now I think there were probably people out here that say, yes, I'd walk a mile for any one of them. But my next question is this. How many of you would die for one of these? We're there. Now we'll go back up here. How many of you would be willing to die for one of these? Especially a repeat offender. Do you know we have one who did die for them? The Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked Paul to start a video over here of a song that it's of an Amish choir. The choir's name there, the Altar of Praise Chorale there. They're singing this song, Who Am I? And I want you to listen to the beautiful message of this particular song as an introduction to the message that we'll be looking at today. Passage that they're scrolling up right there is here in Romans chapter 5. I want you to look at that very quickly here by way of introduction. As I mentioned, we know of one that did die for a righteous man, for a good man, for a sinner such as we. We're told here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely, not very often, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were the repeat offenders, Christ died for us." What a beautiful message and picture of what Jesus Christ did as we think about this week and coming up to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it should mean to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be able to look into Your Word this morning. I thank You for an introduction of a beautiful message such as this, that we think of You leaving heaven and coming into this world and being willing to die there on Calvary for a sinner such as I. For as we, Lord, were so much without any worth, Yet to you, Lord, you chose to love us, and we thank you for that. And I pray that as we look into this particular question, who am I, that you would allow us to see, Lord, what you have done and who you did it for, to make sure that we are ready and have taken advantage of all that you provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question there is taken from the lyrics of that song there, Who Am I? And it speaks of what Jesus Christ did there for us. And am I on here? I'm not on here. Yeah, well, I am. So, okay. Speaks there concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us there. And the first part we come to in the song there, it says, when I think of how he left his home in glory, came and dwelt among the lowly such as I. As I thought about that, the first verses that popped in my mind there was from Philippians chapter 2. If you want to flip over there, please. We see that he left heaven and became a man. In Philippians 2 is a very familiar passage of Scripture that tells us there in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that is in the very essence, the nature of God himself, was God, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped after, to held on to be equal with God, but he let go of that. He left that. And he came to earth, it says there in verse 7. He made himself of no reputation. Now, a lot have been discussed about that. But I believe he laid aside voluntarily the exercise of his godly nature and attributes. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You know, Jesus Christ first humbled himself when he left heaven for you and I, and he came and took on the form of a man. You think, here is the God, the infinite God that created all things, confined himself to a human body. And not only became a man, but became a servant of a man. And in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself further. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. But not just any death, he became obedient to the death of a cross. And we have here this truth that he left heaven to become a man. The next stanza there of that verse, or next line of that song says, to suffer shame and such disgrace. I thought of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. If you'll flip there, you remember, and last week we brought out this particular verse in a message there. Do or done. You remember that one? I hope you can remember something as simple as that. But to suffer shame and disgrace. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now last week we noted and picked out two things there about the very fact that he is the finisher of our faith. He is set down at the right hand of God, a position of completion. Jesus Christ did everything that was necessary to provide our salvation when he died there on Calvary. That's why he said those words, it is finished. Everything that was necessary was completed there, was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that he says there, for the joy that was set before him. In other words, the joy of suffering on the cross, right? No, it wasn't the joy of suffering. It was the joy of doing it for us, for what it was going to provide. He endured the cross, and notice he despised the shame. Now, what shame was it that Jesus despised there? Because we can say that he endured the cross. That was mental and physical anguish that he endured there. But the despising the shame is more of an emotional and spiritual endurance that he went through. And the despising the shame was not hanging there on a cross naked before the world, but it was hanging there clothed in the sin of mankind. That was the shame. It was the holy God for the first time in all of history past, the first time any sin hung to him. And he experienced it for you and I. The shame of sin he took upon himself there. The time of which from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock on the day that he was crucified, there was darkness over the earth. That was not an eclipse of the sun, folks. It doesn't last that long. That was supernatural when God the Father turned his back upon his Son as he would not watch him there bear the sin of mankind. He, for the first time, Jesus Christ, experienced separation from the Father. But the wages of sin is death, is separation. And Jesus Christ experienced that for us. An infinite God paid the penalty of my sin. And he did it for the whole world. What a great Savior we have to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place, it said there. He became our substitute. Isaiah 53 popped in my mind. What a great passage that deals with this. You remember there in Isaiah 53, in verse 5 and 6, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Notice the personal pronouns that we'll come across here. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were the repeat offenders. We were the ones that by choice kept sinning. He's the one by choice that went and took our place on Calvary. He's the one that died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," God the Father has made the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin himself, he's made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. Righteousness of God in him. We have a Savior who not only took our place there, but he took our sin and traded to us his righteousness. He exchanged with us. And we can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He left heaven and became a man. He suffered shame and disgrace. He became our substitute. And the question then remains, then I ask myself the question, who am I? It leads us to an answer. In the chorus of that song, it says, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for me? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, but thine for me? Who am I?" The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. But to the old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? Ask the question there, and the Bible, I believe, gives us several answers to that question. Who am I? In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22, we're told there that we are an enemy of the cross of Christ. Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22 says, "And you that were sometimes, or at one time, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled," he has made us back into a right relationship, "in the body of his flesh through death." Jesus Christ died there to bring us back into right relationship with him. Before I was saved, I was with the group that would have cried, "Crucify him!" But now, because of Jesus Christ, I have been reconciled. I've been made a right relationship with God. Jesus Christ did that for me. That's who I was. In Ephesians chapter 2, back over a few pages there, Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that we're strangers and we're alienated from God. Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13, "That at that time ye were without Christ," Right? Before I got saved, here's the description. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes or at one time were far off are made nigh, brought near by the blood of Christ. We were, who am I? Strangers, aliens, enemy of the cross of Christ. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul went on to say, of whom I am chief. Let me tell you something. If the Apostle Paul was the chief of sinners, what does that make us? It's just a recognition that we're amongst the number of who were enemies and alienated because we were repeat offenders in sin. We deserved it. And Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 that we read a while ago, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what did Jesus do? He died for us. He took our place. When we were ungodly, when we were ungodly sinners. Why did He do it? What is the reason? Why did Jesus go to that old rugged cross for you and for me? The course gave us a little bit of an indication there in one of the statements, if you picked up on it. The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so. The love of God is why He went there. He loved us so. John 3:16 says, you know it, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Jesus Christ so loved us, He went to the cross there. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends, He went on to say, if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. What has He commanded us? He has given us the gospel that we'd receive. And the Bible speaks in the language there of those that obey the gospel, those that do what Jesus Christ has said. He's died for us, for our sin to be forgiven. He did it because He loved us. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. But why? Why did He love us so? There's another song for you. The second verse of that song we did not hear this morning, but in the lyrics of that second verse, it says, oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. When I first read that, I cringed a little bit because of last week's message. Because the answer to that question is nothing. What could you have done to deserve God's love? You couldn't do anything. It was not by any doing of our part that He loved us. We were unlovely. We were sinners. We were repeat offenders. But He chose to love us. He chose to bring about His loving work upon us on the cross. It was totally by God's grace. Grace is simply God giving us the good that we do not deserve. We're told in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace, you don't deserve it. You're saved by faith, through faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ did what He said, and choosing to receive Him as our Savior. That's that faith. But He gave us that opportunity graciously. We never deserved it. What can I do? Nothing. Because He's done it all. He's finished it. And we certainly didn't deserve it. Not a one of us deserved God's love. Have Christ take our place? Not a one of us deserves it. Not a one of us deserves to have our sin forgiven. But aren't you glad that He went to the cross for you? Aren't you glad that it's but for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we could have our sins forgiven? We as believers today have much to be thankful for. What I want to encourage you this week as we look forward to what the Lord Jesus Christ did in remembrance there, that week of Passion, I want you to take the opportunities as you remember that to thank God for His love. To thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ being willing to leave His home in glory and to humble Himself and take on the form of a servant of a man, and not only to die, but to die a cross death, that He could shed His blood there for the forgiveness of our sins, that we could have peace with God, being reconciled to Him completely. We need to thank the Lord for what He has provided. Don't forget that this week. Not only that, but believers, we have the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to share with others. This time of year ought to be easier to share the gospel of Jesus Christ than any other time of year. Because it's right now when we celebrate it. It's right now when we remember it. It's right now that it's easy to bring up the conversation with others. And whether you share that truth through tracts, as we mentioned last week in our tract Sunday, whether you do it through testimony of life, that is, by the way that you live, that others would see Jesus Christ in you and want to know more, or by your testifying of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whichever way, and it should probably be all three, we need to be actively sharing Jesus Christ with others. We need to take the opportunities. We need to pray, Lord, help me to see those opportunities, because God gives them to us. But help us to see the opportunities. And Lord, give me courage to speak up when I see it. That's what we need. He endured the cross for us. What He's asked of us is little in return compared to all that He's done for us. We ought to be willing. Just share it. Every head bow, please.